Yep, fantastic. It's great to be here. I just want to say thank you to Pastor Chris and Meryl. I am really glad to be here. It feels like home away from home. I look around and there's heaps of kids everywhere and I love it. Although I love that time also when kids' church starts and the kids go out and I say, thank you, Jesus. Kids are wonderful. They're hard work at times, but it's great to be here. I have been here a couple times before and blessed to be able to spend a bit of time with Pastor Chris at some state exec meetings and state youth and kids leaders training days maybe 5 years ago, I think. But it's great to be back here with you this morning on this Sunday. I was really blessed by your pastor when I very first became a pastor and we're at a state pastor's gathering and he just shared a word with me and prayed with me and that's just stuck with me. And you guys are blessed with a great pastor. I just want to let you know that. And that stuck with me. So thank you, Pastor Chris. My name is Rochelle. My name is Andrew. My wife's name is Rochelle. Oh dear, we'll pray in a moment. We'll pray. And I have an amazing testimony. I grew up in church, to be honest. I hated it. And then I found out who Jesus was, and now I love it. And I have an amazing testimony because I know Jesus. And you might say, I don't have an amazing testimony. But if you know Jesus, you have an amazing testimony. Every one of you God wants to use for his glory, for his kingdom. He knows you. He's drawn you to himself. If you don't yet know him today, he wants you to know him. And you have an amazing story, an amazing testimony to share for the glory of God. I got saved when I was about 14 years old. Then when I was 18 years old, I went to Papua New Guinea on a missions trip. Anyone been to Papua New Guinea? A few people, fantastic. And that trip changed my life. I came back, I cancelled plans for uni, and I went to Bible college. And I gave a year to God to say, God, train me, equip me, point me in the direction you want me to go. And I started serving in our youth ministry. And before I knew it, I was becoming a youth pastor, and I served in youth ministry for about 10 years, and then they gave me the sack. They made me the pastor instead, and it's been a great time since 2011, being the senior pastor in our church. I think I was the youngest senior pastor in the Victoria, and I thought, by the grace of God, I can do this. Without him, I am nothing, but with him, we can do all things. Amen? We've sung it. Let's believe it. I just want to encourage you to serve where you are. I just want to encourage you to whatever opportunities you have, just to step into it with God's strength. In my life, I never strived to become a pastor, but I just took the opportunities that God gave me, and it's a blessing to step out in the things that God has for you. We can never outgive God, and we are blessed when we faithfully respond to his call. Couple of really quick things about me. I love riding bikes. If you like riding bikes, come and talk to me later. I love the beach. I love my family. I love spending time with my family and going camping and going out in the bush. And I love God and I love people and I want people to know God. There's me in a really quick nutshell. It's been blessed to meet some of your kids and youth leaders over the years. And can I just pray now? We're going to open God's word together. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your love, for your grace, Lord, for your mercy, that, Lord, we could know you, that, Lord, we could know your love, that, God, we can come to you, no matter what situation, no matter what joys, no matter what trials, that we can come to you with a thankful heart, because, Jesus, you have done it all for us upon the cross. God, we thank you for your love, that you sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to be your disciples, to be your witnesses. And God, I just pray today that you would use my words, that you would use your word, Lord, to bring life into the hearts and lives of people here today. I thank you, Lord, for just speaking your rhema words to people this morning. Just for changing thinking, Lord, maybe mindsets of 10, 20, 30 years, Lord, even. God, you would shape us for your glory, that you would use this church, Grow Church, for your glory, God. That you would use this church in this city, in this region, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Who's ever painted a house? Anyone ever painted a house? Who's ever sanded a house before painting? That's the hard part. That's the bad part. Or maybe you've started the day and you've had this enormous pile of washing and you've said, right, that's it. Today, I've got the day free. I'm going to get this washing done. Mums, dads, single people, whoever you are, maybe this is you, you've had this huge pile of washing, you're right, I'm going to get it done. And you're gonna get it washed, you're gonna get it hung up, you're gonna get it dried, and you're gonna get it put away. Has anyone had that plan in a day to get that all done? And you're like, yes, I'm gonna do it. The sun's out. Let's do this. Or maybe you've had a to-do list. You've had your list of things. You think, right, I've got no meetings. I've got no appointments. I'm gonna get through this to-do list. I'm actually gonna get this done today. And you're all excited. You're stirred. You work flat out all morning. You do everything you can. You're working hard. You are in the zone. And then finally it comes lunchtime and you sit back and you think, wow, I have worked hard. And you look at the painting, you look at the sanding, you look at the to-do list, you look at the washing, whatever it is. And as you sit back, you think, oh my goodness, I've hardly even made a dent in the pile of washing. I've hardly even got past the first three and I've had an extra five things on my to-do list. The walls, you've done one wall and you think, oh, I've got a whole house to go. It can be demoralizing, can't it? If we feel discouraged by those to-do lists, I know I can. Let's not live by a to-do list. If you've ever felt that way, if you've ever been discouraged, if you've ever felt like you're getting nowhere, then I believe this message is for you. Maybe you've felt like, what on earth am I here for? I'm just going to see if I can work the buttons on this thing. Is that the right one? Yeah, what on earth am I here for? Maybe you've had friends around you that are saying, well, I don't understand what my life is about. I feel like I'm getting nowhere. No matter what I do, I can't seem to make an impact. And this morning, that's what I want to talk about, a genuine impact. I believe God wants to use you to make a genuine impact in this life. And if it's not for you this morning, if you already are stirred in this, maybe this is for someone you know, to encourage them. To encourage means to bring courage, that they might step into the plans that God has for them, that they might discover and walk in that plan that he has, that they too might make a genuine impact for the kingdom of God. If you've got your Bibles there, I want you to open up to Matthew chapter 5. So good to open the Word of God, to open your Bible. I encourage you to underline it, draw pictures. And I love drawing pictures in my margins and helping me find things and to remind me of things that people have spoken. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. And I think it's on the screen. Hopefully it's big enough for you to read if you haven't got it there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. And actually, I'm going to read it up there, I think, because it's bigger than my... You know, you're starting to get a little bit older. I got scared a few years ago when I was speaking somewhere and I had my Bible and I felt like I was holding it like here and I decided I need to get a bigger text. But I'm going to read from up there because it's even bigger. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Now, the context of this is Jesus is talking to the disciples. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is talking to the disciples. They've come up with him and he's talking to them. He's talking about how blessed is the peacemaker, blessed is the merciful, and blessed is this one, blessed is that one. And I don't believe this passage is Jesus saying to the disciples, saying, you've got to try harder. He's not saying, you've got to try and be a better peacemaker. You've got to try harder to be merciful. You've got to try harder to be salt. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. I think Jesus is talking to those who have come to him, those who have acknowledged that they are sinners who need a Savior, that they are ones who are created by God and that God has called them. Now, they haven't yet put their faith in Jesus' death and resurrection because he hasn't yet died and rose again, but they have faith. They are people of faith he's speaking to. And if you realize that you're a sinner, that you're saved by grace, that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, you are those ones he is talking to. You are a new creation in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. You have been brought with a price. The old is gone, the new has come. It's one of the core foundations that the CRC was founded on, the new creation message. And Galatians 2 verse 16, it says, we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Oops, we'll go back. Whoop, I'm going too far. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. No one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me, so I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Jesus' death on the cross was not in vain. He accomplished it. He said, "It is finished. You have been bought with a price. Your sin has been dealt with, and by faith we enter into a new life with God." Woohoo! That's something worth getting excited about. That is the greatest message anyone can ever know. And Jesus says to the disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. You are." Turn to the person beside you and say, "You are the salt of the earth." If you know Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. Does he say you might be, you can be? Does he say you should be? Does he say some of the time you are? He says you are the salt of the earth. You are. You might not realize it. You might not understand it fully. You might forget it at times, but you are the salt of the earth if you know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you knew it once and you've forgotten, but you still are the salt of the earth. So fantastic. We're salty. That's awesome. What does that mean? What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? What's salt used for? And I've just realized those things are popping up before I click on them, so that's okay. But you've already got the hints. You've got the cheat sheet. Salt preserves. In Jesus' time, salt was a very precious thing. Salt preserves. It preserves life. I went hiking recently. We had a church bloke's hike, and we went hiking, and I tried beef jerky for the first time and the last. And salt preserves things, and sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. But it stops things going off. Salt enhances flavor. We had some chips the other day at a friend's place, and they weren't deep fried. They were cooked in this air fryer or something. Has anyone ever heard of an air fryer? I was like, what is that? Anyway, I'm a little bit worried. I'm about to taste these chips. I'm thinking, these are going to be a bit healthy. And I tasted it, and I thought, wow, this chip is good. This chip is amazing. This chip is better than some deep fried chips I've had. It's not the deep frying that makes it good. It's the salt. That's the secret. It's the salt that makes the chips good. Salt enhances flavor. It makes bland things taste exciting. Salt has healing properties. If you go to the dentist and you have something done in your mouth and they say, go home and do what? Wash with salt. You go to the beach, you have a cut, you go in the water, and what happens? It stings, but it's a good sting because you know it's helping you. It has healing properties, salt water. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But then he says, but what good is salt if salt loses its saltiness? What good is it? What use is it? Where do you get your salt from? Probably Woolies, aisle 5, aisle 3, whatever it is. IGA, Coles, somewhere maybe. We go and buy our salt from the supermarket or wherever it is, and it's been processed and it's been packaged and boxed up, and we buy it and it's just the same every time. It's salt, it's salt. But think back to Jesus' day. The salt that they had came from the Dead Sea. And the people would go to the Dead Sea and they'd collect their salt. I imagine there's different spots around the lake. They're like, oh, that's the good salt over there. It's like if you haven't got time, you just go to that quick spot down the road. You can get salt there, but it's not quite as good. I just imagine in Jesus' day, the people would have gone, they would have got their salt. Maybe they bought it off the guy who collected the salt, I don't know. And they get the salt, they run home and they put it on the chips. And they start eating. Did they eat chips? I don't know. They start eating the chips and they go, this is good salt. This is good salt. And other days they come home and they put the salt on the chips and they go, it's a bit crunchy. There's a bit of sand mixed in with this. It's a bit dirty salt. This salt isn't so good. And the salt that's lost its saltiness might as well be thrown out. It's useless. It's no good. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, you are a new creation in Christ. He's saying, you are the salt of the earth. But don't get contaminated. Don't get filled with impurities, because if you get contaminated by the things of the world, You lose your saltiness. You lose your effectiveness, your value to the kingdom of God, your ability to be used in the kingdom of God, to be salt on the earth for preserving, for enhancing flavor, for bringing healing, is contaminated. No one's going to use salt that's filled with sand. It's impure. And Jesus is saying, you are the salt of the earth. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, you are saved by faith in Him. But we can get contaminated by the world. We can get surrounded in our life and go after other things. And we might still have faith in Jesus. We might still be salt. But to be honest, in the kingdom of God, we are almost useless to the kingdom of God if we are just filled with impurities and contaminated. Jesus is saying, be different. Be the salt of the earth. Be the salt of the earth that preserves. Be one who brings life, that those who are decaying, that you might come into that situation and bring hope, that you might be the messenger of good news, that they then find life, that it preserves their life, that you enhance flavor, that you walk in the room and you bring a peace, that you bring a joy, you bring a sense that maybe there is a purpose to this life to those around you, that you would bring healing through just talking, through ministering, through your grace, your love, your mercy, that people would find healing through their relationship with you, that you might pray for people and they might find healing spiritually, physically, emotionally, whatever way it might be. You are the salt of the earth. Be different. So maybe all your friends swear, they lie, they criticize people. He says, but you be different, be salty. Don't be contaminated with the world. Don't just become like everyone else. Be different. So your friends all go and they get drunk at every party they go to. Be different. Young guys, I want to encourage you, don't just be like your friends. Be built up in the Lord. I share this with my youth when I was in youth a lot. I made a conscious decision as an 18-year-old to still go to birthday parties of my friends, even though I knew they were going to get drunk. And I would get be at home and I would pray and I would get full of the Holy Spirit. I'd listen to music and get excited in God. And then I'd go to that party nice and early before they're drunk. And I would just be a joyful presence and make a loud noise and just try and be Jesus to the friends around me. And then I'd go home before they all got too drunk and got silly. But we need to be different. We are the salt of the earth. I was listening to some of your podcasts through the week, and Pastor Chris was talking about more and more, the more and more life. Let's have more and more of the Spirit of God, the more and more of His presence overflowing out of us. Let's be that fire. Like the great series, Being on Fire. Or we will have no genuine impact in this life. Jesus says, salt that has lost its saltiness will be thrown out and trampled by men. And if we claim to be followers of Jesus but just live like everyone else, we'll be thrown out and trampled by men. We'll be mocked. We'll be criticized for our hypocrisy. I don't want to be in that place. And we all struggle at times, but God, help us to be salty. Help me to be salty, Lord. Jesus goes on in verse 14 and he says, you are the light of the world. Does he say you can be, you are some of the time? And he says, no, you are the light of the world. In this particular passage, Jesus doesn't say, I am the light of the world. In other places, he says, I am the light of the world. But here he says, you are the light of the world. And I get the feeling that Jesus is trying to help them. He's saying, guys, if you would just understand what is going to happen, what I'm going to do, that I'm going to be crucified, that 3 days later I'm going to rise from the dead. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, that same power, to live within you. And you are the light of the world. You are going to be empowered to be my witnesses. You're going to go all over the earth. You're going to be my presence wherever you go. You're going to be my light, and I'm going to place you on a stand so that everyone can see you. I'm going to put you in places to shine my light where you thought you would never shine. I'm going to be that light through you. Guys, will you please understand, he's saying. You are the light of the world. You might not think you are, but you are the light of the world. It's me in you. It's not what you're going to do. It's not your goodness. It's God in you that you're going to be a light. You're going to be different. There's going to be something about you. I love that on the bottom of the banner there, it says, get on fire for God and men will come and see you burn. I love that. If we get filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are full of the love of God, people will say, what is different about you? And he talks about hiding the light. So who's hiding the light? God sets us a light. God sets us on fire. He lifts us up. But we build our own baskets. We cover our light. God has placed the light of the world within you. But so often we hide that light. When we're afraid, when we have a fear of what people will think of us, we hide our light. We just sort of step back and think, I won't put myself out here in this situation. When we fear what might happen if we step into that thing that God's calling us to step into. When we have a fear of obeying that call that God's prompting us to go and speak to that person, we cover our light. When we doubt what God has done, when we doubt the goodness of God, when we doubt the ability of God to do what he's prompting us to do, we cover our light. When we're discouraged, when we're distracted, when our mind is set on different things, we cover our light. We get diluted, we get distracted. We let the old sinful man, the selfish man, come creeping back in, and we go after other things. And we lose our saltiness. We cover our light. But it doesn't change who you are. You might have had your light concealed. You might have 20, 30 years ago had something happen and thought, wow, I can never step forward and share what Jesus has done in me again because I'm too ashamed of this thing I've done. I failed in this way. Maybe someone criticized you. Maybe someone persecuted you for stepping out with the message of the gospel, and you've hidden it. But it doesn't change who God has created you to be. It doesn't change who God has created this church to be. You are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. This church is called to be a light to this community. And each one of you, it's not up to Pastor Chris or any other leader in this church to be that witness. It's every follower of Christ that is called to go and make disciples. Every follower of Jesus is called to be that light. So what can we do if we're in that place? Let's remind ourselves of who he is. He is an all-loving God. He is creator God that spoke and worlds came into being. He is the one that spoke and all creation was formed. He is the one who loves us, who is love, 1 John tells us. He is the one who called you. He is the one who came and died on a cross, who gave everything that you might know his love, that you might surrender your life to him and be filled with his Spirit. Day by day, we need to remind ourselves to be opening the Word of God. Get involved in a grow group. I wanted to join a grow group after you were talking about them before, Pastor Chris. I'm thinking, these are great. Get involved. Meet with people. Read the Word together. Talk about the Word. Facebook can be a terrible thing. Facebook can be a great thing. Spread the Word of God. Declare the word of God. Remind yourself. Stick verses up on the wall to remind yourself of those things that God wants to remind you in. Let's remind ourselves of what he has done, that it is finished, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that faith in Jesus Christ leads unto salvation. Our faith in Jesus is counted as righteousness. We may stumble, we may fumble, we may trip, but we will never fall beyond where he can draw us up, where you can get up and run for his glory again. And let's remind ourselves of who we are. We are new creations in Christ. It is no longer Andrew that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. Whatever you're going through, it's Christ that's going through. God knows the struggles you face. He knows the joys, the fears you have. And he can help you. I want to have a look very briefly at Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus said, I have come and I have some authority. No, he says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So if Jesus has all authority and he calls you to come and be a witness in this group, in this place, in this workplace, in this school, in this city, do you think he can help you be that thing? I think we forget sometimes that he has all authority. He is able to accomplish what he has called you for. All authority has been given to him. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. Some translations say, teach. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This isn't just to the leaders in this church. This is to every one of us that we've been called to go and make disciples. Every one of us is called to go and share the gospel, to tell others about what Jesus has done. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. No, Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. His Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you the moment you put your faith and trust in him. He wants his Spirit to lead us and not our old carnal mind. We need to be filled with the Spirit, transformed by his Spirit, transformed by the renewing of our mind. And he is able to use you for his glory. You are the salt of the earth. You might have just become a Christian yesterday. You're still the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You might need someone to help guide you and teach you and train you. But you are the light of the world. If we want to have a genuine impact for God, it's not about how much we can do. It's not how many people we can reach. It's not about how great we are. It's about being faithful to the thing that God has called us to. It's not about getting that pile of washing done. It's not about getting that to-do list done. That is not genuine success. That's not genuine impact. The genuine impact that God has called us to have is to be faithful with the things he has called us to be faithful in. To remind ourselves daily of who he is. To be that new creation he's created you to be. To be that salt and that light for his glory. I want to finish just by praying for three groups of people this morning. And maybe if the band wants to come up. I just want to finish with this. This morning, maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. You've never understood his love. You've never given your life to him. You've never surrendered and said, God, I'm sorry for the things I've done. I understand, I believe that Jesus died in my place on the cross. And today, you can become his child. You can know that your sin is forgiven. You can know that you are a new creation in Christ, that every sin you have ever committed, no matter how big or how small, it has been dealt with. There is no penalty awaiting you for your sins because Jesus has taken it all. And this morning, if that's you, all you need to do is say, God, thank you for loving me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me, Lord. Lead me, God. I want to live for you, not just live for my own selfish motives. And the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I just wonder if we can have eyes closed. And is there anyone here today that that's your choice? That today you want to say, yes, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me upon the cross. There is no greater decision I have ever made in my life than putting my faith in Jesus Christ and surrendering to him and saying, thank you, Jesus, you've done it all. I want to live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And this morning, I just want to pray also for those who maybe you've known that you are salt and light, but over years have gone by that things have happened and you've got discouraged, you've got distracted. There's been dilution of that saltiness. You've just lost a bit of that fire. You've lost a bit of that zeal. I believe God would want to just wash away that discouragement this morning. His Holy Spirit is in this place. His Holy Spirit lives within you. And he wants to just blow the roof off that basket that you've placed over your life. And if that's you this morning, I just encourage you to lift your hand and say, God, that's me. That's me, Lord. I've lost my saltiness. Lord, help me to be more salty. Help me to be the salt, the light that you've created me to be. Lord, I'm sorry for not stepping into those things that you've called me to. Those things that you've spoken and encouraged me to do. Lord, that I have stepped back in fear and in discouragement. Lord, help me to step forward. And the Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would come right now, that, Lord, you would fill each one of these ones today that is just asking you, Lord, to help them be more salty, Lord. Lord, I ask you myself, Lord, help me to be the salt, the light that you created me to be. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this church, that you would continue to raise them up in this community, God, that you would give them favor, that people would see your love in them. And God, you would use them for your glory in a mighty, mighty way, beyond what they have ever dreamed or imagined, Lord, in this community, God, that you would raise them up, that you would send them out to different places, Lord, even that we thank you, Lord, for Diggers Rest and, Lord, for places that you will send them as individuals and as a church, that you would use them in amazing ways because they are the light of the world. It's your spirit in us. It's your spirit in them, and that we have the greatest message that the world can ever know. Use us, we pray, Lord. I pray in this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.